Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome in, Grant and Danny, on 106.7 The Fan on this Monday. We are underway another week to break down sports with you guys. Looking forward to the next 4 hours. So much to get into after a massive weekend. We will cover it all. Danny, how you been?
It's real sports, dude. This is pre-2018. This is pre-Cap Stanley Cup. This is pre-Nationals winning the World Series. You got some old-fashioned dramatics, right? You got a player dismissed after charges for the Washington football team. You got the Nats getting swept with injuries and to key people and them not being able to score runs. You got the Caps in the postseason churning out some dramatics against a former coach coming up with your standard noon Wednesday in August playoff time, or 3 o'clock, rather, playoff time for a game. But it's weird, man, but at the same time, this feels like the DC sports I was familiar with before the Caps broke through and won themselves a Stanley Cup. Nothing but drama this weekend, dude. What a weekend.
Yeah, since we were on the air on Friday, I mean, the quick recap kind of spinning you around town. So the Washington football team releases Darius Geis. Old news now because it came out 3 days ago, but you and I have not commented on it on the air, so we'll do a lot of that today. But he got arrested for domestic violence. The team immediately releasing him. And we live in an era where, you know, the allegation is almost as bad as the conviction, right? Where you have a situation, or in Geis's case, apparently and allegedly, three situations, and the team, coming off of the story that it was featured in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago, said, we've got a zero-tolerance policy for this. So they released him. Ron Rivera telling reporters today, if he made a mistake, he'll wear it, and it'll be on him. But he felt like what they had found out, without having really done much investigating other than talking to Geis, was enough to cut him, and that happened on Friday. Meanwhile, in terms of games that were being played, the Capitals get a huge win, much needed, over the Bruins.
Yeah.
So they become the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're going to play Barry Trotz and their former coaching staff in the first round of the playoffs starting this week now. And I got to tell you, game one on Wednesday for the Capitals, what a storyline that is. He leaves after winning the cup. They don't pay him. He walks and stays in the division with the Islanders. And now, 2 seasons later, you're either sending him home or he's going to eliminate the coach that they chose over him, Todd Reirden. Pretty amazing.
Incredibly amazing. And he never should have been let go. And we didn't vilify them because they just won a Stanley Cup, and they could have done a lot of things, and I would have said, yeah, but the parade was awesome. And, yeah, it was the first championship for D.C. in decades, and it was 30 years in the making, and do whatever you want. But we said at the time, hey, this is wrong. This is a mistake. This is not something that should be happening. And so far, we don't have a great sample that would say otherwise. So this is a nice chance for, you know, for the administration, for the powers that be, for the Capitals to, I don't want to say exercise demons, because, again, they won the Stanley Cup a little over a year and a half ago or a couple years ago. But it would be nice to cement and kind of put a stamp on that and say, we actually were right about this, and Todd Reirden is the guy to get us back there. We're not wasting a couple extra years of Ovechkin's incredible high-level play, you know, as we start to have to make some difficult decisions going forward about the roster and the like. But, yeah, it is, you know, Barry Trotz wants that. Obviously, I mean, he would want it normally. He'd want it if they were playing, you know, the Rangers or the Penguins or anybody else. But you know it's a little bit extra just to try to put a stamp on this thing to remind you
Todd Reirden,
you guys made a mistake. And Reirden as well, exactly.
Yeah, Reirden feels like people don't think he's as good as Trotz. So it's a chance for him to maybe prove himself a little bit. And they'll downplay it, but massive series, not only because it's the playoffs, but just personally for those guys, there's no doubt. And that was a mutual departure in some way, even though I more blame the team. We can get into the specifics a little bit later, though, and revisit that. The Nationals, a terrible weekend, another way to say it. They couldn't do anything right, including getting the tarp on the field this weekend. And the Orioles were the opponent. Regional rivalry team that isn't supposed to be particularly good this year. Came in one of the worst teams in baseball as far as expectations. They lost 11-0 on Friday. The bullpen blew a game on Saturday where Sean Doolittle proved himself to be, right now, a guy that just doesn't have it and a guy you can't use in high-leverage situations, which is a shame because of how important he's been to this organization and how much you and I pull for him. But you just can't throw him in anything other than blowouts right now. And then yesterday they were down again as the Orioles got to Steven Strasburg midway through his first start of the year, and they were at risk of being swept before the rain came. They couldn't get a tarp down, and so the game got suspended. So they may well get swept starting on Friday when they finish that game, and then they've got another weekend series with Baltimore. But they entered yesterday the second-worst team in the National League in the standings, and it didn't get better.
No, and when you face Orioles pitching, these numbers should get better, not worse. They're now last in baseball in runs scored per game. And when you face a group that doesn't have an ace, that doesn't have a guy that would be a number two or a number three, or maybe even a number four for a first division club, and you manage five runs through little over, you know, two and three quarters games or whatever, however the math works out, that's not good right now. They're not scoring runs, and Strasburg is, you know, has to quote unquote pitch through, according to Davey Martinez, this thing with his hand. That's, I don't like that at all. Max Scherzer, you know, left after an inning of his most recent start, expects to take the ball on Tuesday, but still, Anibal Sanchez is now March and April of last year. Anibal Sanchez getting lit up before he turned it around. So you'd like to have the midseason and beyond Anibal Sanchez that was really good for this club as they were making their comeback from 19 to 31. And you mentioned Sean Doolittle. You feel for the guy. I mean, they don't win a World Series without him. They don't, that's somebody you root for and pull for. You know it means a lot to him. He grinds and works so hard, and it's such a fine line for him just in terms of how his stuff works, right? Just because he's a spin rate fastball guy, and when he can't do that, this is the result, and it just doesn't look very good at all for him, trotting him out there in any kind of situation. But you got to find a way to get him back. And Davey Martinez touched on that. They need Sean Doolittle to get to where they want to go, but how do you do that? I mean, it cost him a game on Saturday, a game that they desperately needed.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Just a recap of the D.C. sports weekend, and you're already thinking, well, damn, a lot happened. We haven't even gotten into the big national storylines. Finishing out, the Wizards fell 0-6 in the bubble. They lose to Oklahoma City over the weekend. Two more games, and then their offseason starts as they still look for bubble win number one. You had the PGA Championship delivering the goods for golf fans, a 23-year-old first-time winner. In racing, in Michigan, Kevin Harvick wins both races. He's been dominant. I mean, he's just running away with their sport this year. And then college football's on the brink of being shut down. Oh, by the way. It looks like after all the conversations and all the segments and all the guests we've had on to talk about college football, many of whom said, yeah, there's going to be a season. We're going to figure this out. Here on August 10th, we could get word that the first couple of conferences close their doors and push things to the spring, which would mean everyone else then has to follow suit. So without further ado, Danny, let's get to our winners of the weekend, gold, silver, and bronze medals to be doled out. You start us off. Who gets your bronze medal?
The bronze medallion for your pal. I got to think about this. I'm going to say the Oakland A's, and here's why. They made the Astros look even worse. They also ran around the Houston Astros, which was very nice to see that the Astros are losing these games, and it's always fun when the villain gets their comeuppance. But you had the Astros look so terrible with a benches-clearing brawl started by a coach who then hid behind several players. Way to go, Oakland. You guys are the real heroes.
Yeah, Alex Cintron was that coach, and he's got to be reprimanded.
Way to go, tough guy.
As he basically came up to the top step and challenged a player to a fight. What are you doing? Bronze medal for me, Braden Holtby. In yesterday's Caps win against the Bruins, he absolutely owns Boston. 30 saves, 31 shots. Without him, they don't win. They're not the three seed, and they have to deal with the Hurricanes in the first round. So Braden Holtby gets my bronze medal. I'll give my silver medal to Luka Doncic. He got triple-double, number 17 on his season on Saturday night, and it was just an amazing game as they beat the Bucks in overtime. I don't think there's three players in all of sports right now more exciting to watch than Luka Doncic of the Mavericks. His triple-double, get this line, 36 points, 14 rebounds, 19 assists. He is my silver medal winner from the weekend victors. Who do you have as your silver?
Damian Lillard, must-watch television at this point. Had 51 on Sunday. He's incredible right now, and he's the best player that nobody talks about, tucked away in the upper northwest in Portland as just, you know, they're not marquee. They're towards the 7 seed, 8 seed, depends on what they get, but he is absolutely incredible at this point, as gifted an offensive player as you're going to find. Again, had just a casual 51 points, and in the bubble, he has been absolutely incredible, as you touched on.
I'll go with my gold medal for my biggest winner of the weekend, Fernando Tatis Jr., homered in all three games for the Padres 4 times since Friday. 4 straight games with a homer. He's got 5 bolts since Thursday and 6 in his last 6 games. He's leading the big leagues right now in WAR, runs scored, total bases, OPS, tied for the lead with Aaron Judge with 8 home runs. Oh, by the way, he's the 7th fastest player in Major League Baseball, and he's 21 years old, a superstar coming of age. Fernando Tatis Jr., my big winner of the weekend. How about you?
Gold for the weekend. You already said his name, Luka Doncic. Good Lord. He had 19 assists. He had 19 assists in the game, but he scored 36 points. The list of players who have done what he's done is very, very short. It's like before he turns 23, the guys that have had the 10 and 10 kind of triple-doubles, rather, it's like LeBron and like 2 other guys, and you combine all of their totals, and then they have as many as Luka Doncic. He's absolutely ridiculous for a really fun Dallas team.
All right, those were our weekend winners. We'll get into our weekend losers next. And for the first time at 10:30, we will get elbow deep into the Darius Geis fiasco. He is no longer a member of the Washington football team. Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. I guess this isn't that surprising, but I just saw this out of the NBA, and I wanted to pass this along. Chris Haynes of Yahoo says, NBA teams that have been mathematically eliminated on or before August 12th will depart campus immediately after their final game has ended. Following the game, teams will shower in designed rooms at the Coronado Springs Airport, or resort, I guess, receive meal, and then take the bus straight to the airport. So they're not welcome to stay. It's almost like
you gotta go.
a reality show where they come put out your torch. You get eliminated. Thanks for coming. You're now gone. We'll put your bags on the bus for you. Go take a shower. We'll see you at the plane.
Turn in your key card, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's rough, but I get it. I mean, this is not normal times. This is not, hey, hang out and, you know, check out Summer League and go to a couple different venues. We're trying to do this during a pandemic, so any extra bodies are complications. So, smell you later.
I know you probably want to get another massage and play some ping pong, but that's just not what we're here for. So, your off-season begins. Hopefully, you got a tee time lined up. Sam Fortier of the Washington Post is one of 3 reporters with Post Sports who's been all over the Darius Geis story. They broke the news on Friday. He's going to join us a little over an hour at 11:30 with the latest on Geis, how this all came about and transpired, how much digging Washington actually did before they released him outright in a message-sending move that they were not going to tolerate players getting in the trouble that Darius Geis did. What an amazing turn of events. And we're going to get into that as a show for the first time at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, because it happened after you and I went off the air. We really have not even broken it down yet. So that's coming up in just a few. Also today, the other big, big story we're monitoring, there's really 2 plates we're spinning. On one hand, you got Geis no longer with Washington. And on the other, by the end of today, I think we're going to know that college football is not happening in the fall. That's the report. That's what's coming out. That's what's being speculated. So we're waiting on official word from one or both of the alleged conferences who are going to push the sport to the spring, which would create a domino effect. But Aaron Murray, the former quarterback at Georgia from ESPNU, is going to be on the show today at 1 o'clock. To talk about the college football season, whether or not it can work in the spring, and what it's going to look like if it is held in the spring for the first time. But without further ado, we gave you our weekend winners. Let's get to our losers, Danny. I'm looking for a bronze medal loser. We'll go 3-2-1, your biggest losers from the weekend.
Bronze, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You just hate to see it. It's the type of thing that you hate to see. A team with Stanley Cup aspirations. A team that's still got maybe the best player in the sport, or a guy that's going to be reluctant to hand the crown over to somebody else. One of the most well-known names, certainly. You know who the villains are. And it's just the type of thing, you don't even like to see them not even make that really final tournament, that dance where the best eight teams in the conference will go up against each other. Just a shame that they lost those games to Montreal. And it's a shame it didn't even get to five games. You would have liked to have seen that. 3-1, the Hurs shut out in that game number four loss that sent them back home to Yinzertown.
I'm going to go with Zach Plesac with my bronze medal, a guy that most of our listeners may not have even heard of. He's a starting pitcher with the Cleveland Indians, and he threw brilliantly in his last start, six-plus innings, and ended up giving his team a chance to win with another quality start. He's off to a great beginning to his year. Well, why is he a loser, you ask? How about this? The Indians have sent him home for leaving his hotel to go out in Chicago. So good for Cleveland. Plesac understood the importance of behaving differently this year. It was very clear. I think they've made it known to all players what they can and can't do. And he broke the rules anyway. After his outing, where he pitched really well, he was in Chicago. He left the hotel with all of his teammates staying in their rooms and doing the correct things. And the 25-year-old decided he would go out with his friends on the town, go eat, have some drinks in Chicago. So the team found out about it. They rented Plesac a car, and they told him to drive his ass to their next stop and that he wasn't invited on the plane. So he apologized in a statement released by the team following a 10-inning victory over the White Sox on Sunday. He said, quote, "I realize I made a poor choice to leave the hotel, and I broke protocol and could have endangered other people. I understand that in these times of uncertainty, I need to be more vigilant and responsible, and I am determined to earn my teammates' forgiveness and get back to work." Love this from the team, by the way. Mm-hmm. See you later. Don't let the door hit you in the butt. And so they're meeting him at the next stop, and now they'll have him be tested in quarantine. But it's a good example for what happens when you break the rules in these weird times.
Yeah, rent a car and get yourself something to drink at a Slim Jim, and we'll see you at our next stop.
Yeah, exactly. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back. All right, silver medal.
The Nationals, the worst offense in baseball, averaging 2.92 runs per game. The only team that's homered fewer times than they have are the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cardinals have played five games to the Nationals' 12. This is the worst offense in the sport. They're scoring half a run less per game than the Cleveland Indians, who are hitting 196 as a team. The stark contrasts go on and on. They have a third of the home runs of the Dodgers, Yankees, Padres, nearly a third of the Minnesota Twins. The offense is at home rink. They're not delivering. They are not finding a way to score runs to occasionally make up for a less than stellar start. They've had a number of losses where they've been in games, blown some leads, etc. If Austin Voth and Eric Fetty are keeping you into a ball game, you got to win some of those games, and they haven't, because this offense has been really, really, really dreadful to the tune of 30th in baseball.
That's a good one. And look, this is uncomfortable because I don't know these guys personally, and I'm sure they're really good at what they do, and they just had an embarrassing day, and we all have. But you got to do it. Yep. I'm giving the silver medal to the Nationals ground screw. For all I know, a bunch of those guys are sitting around working on the field right now listening. And God bless you. Enjoy your World Series rings. You guys do some good things. But yesterday was just tough to watch. I mean, that was embarrassing and cringeworthy. I don't know how we got here. For those of you that don't know what happened, I'm guessing this was an issue when they rolled up the tarp last time. I don't really know. But they start unraveling the tarp, and it's in such terrible shape, and it's basically so jammed up, and it's almost like trying to unwind something that wasn't put away correctly. They couldn't get the tarp on the field. So during this deluge and this awful rainstorm where Bubba Gump's telling you about how it rains sideways.
Big old fat rain.
And Forrest is telling you about the shape of the raindrops. The Nats couldn't play the rest of their game, the baseball game they needed to play against the Orioles, because they couldn't get a tarp on the field and the field was deemed unusable. So I will use the Nats ground crew as my silver medalist for our three losers of the weekend. Who gets your gold medal then? Who's your biggest loser of the weekend?
The Houston Astros, they're the villains, and every day they make themselves more and more villainous. You had a coach yelling at an opposing player who was just hit by a pitch for the Oakland Athletics to start a bench-clearing brawl. I hate the Astros, and so does baseball, and so does every fan that's not in and around Houston or paid by the team or covering the team directly that somehow is trying to paint them as victims. They're the worst. I love that they're losing, and I love that everybody hates them.
Can't beat that one. I'll try, but it's going to be tough. I'm just going to say, college football fans, you've been holding out hope. We've all been thinking that we were going to see college football on Saturdays, at least in week one, and then we'll see how long they can stay on the field and make this work. And I keep saying over and over again, I don't get how it's going to. I don't see how it's possible. But they're saying they're going to do it, so we'll see how it goes. Not so fast. It looks like college football's not happening. We found that out over the weekend. A tough couple of days for big-time college football advocates all over the country. But sorry about it. I mean, a lot of kids here that you're trying to keep safe, and I don't know that there's a way to both play football and keep those cases down on those universities. Next, Darius Geis, released by the Washington football team. How did we get here? They cut him right away, should they have? And maybe most importantly, what's going on in the running back room without Geis now? And what led to this release over these last several weeks? What did the team know? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We spent several shows last week breaking down different positions on the Washington roster, and one we have felt really good about was the running back spot on the depth chart, because there were just so many options. Perhaps the most talented of those options was Darius Geis, who is no longer on the team, the second-round pick, 2 years with the club. His tenure is over. All of a half dozen games and less than 50 rushing attempts. A shame. In so many ways. The injuries caught up to him. This was a guy that was drafted despite some character red flags. We never really got to the bottom of what those were. He always bristled at that. You know, he was publicly a fan favorite. People loved this guy, partially because he played Fortnite on Twitch. You know, but also, he did a lot of cool things. I mean, he rented out movie theaters and took fans to see popular movies when we were living in a world where you could interact with human beings. And he did stuff like that a couple times and really endeared himself to this fan base and kind of had a textbook start to his career in terms of winning people over. And he became, outside of Chase Young, I would say possibly the most beloved, popular player on the team right now. He was released on Friday, Danny, hours after his arrest for domestic violence.
So I have, again, no inside information here, but a number of things come to mind. And the immediate comparisons, and I understand this, by the way, are drawn between Cody Latimer, who's facing a serious slew of charges, Reuben Foster, who had charges against him as well, and the team at the time, the Redskins, picked him up and sort of stood by him and waited out, and he was exonerated, etc. What's the difference between those and this? And the first name that I thought of was Kareem Hunt, and here's why. Here's how. I get the sense, and I want to see what you think about this, that something comes across the team's desk where, you know, they're alerted to the fact that Geis might be in a little bit of trouble. And I think a conversation was had, just sort of reading between the lines. Conversation was, tell us what happened. He tells them what happened. And they go, is that it? Is that it? And I'm guessing he said, yes, that's it. Then the new charges. There were multiple, the afternoon we learned that there were multiple charges filed against Darius, the statement said, right? So once they found out that that wasn't it, I think it's because they feel like he wasn't truthful and there was more to this. He minimized it, and because they felt betrayed or whatever, regardless of if he's proven innocent or otherwise, they said, nope, you're gone. That's it. You're done. We're not tolerating this here. Because to me, that's the only explanation that would satisfy me. Because for me, we need to wait for all the information to come out. I don't react to accusations. I need the information. This could be real. This could be nonsense. I have no idea. And anybody that claims to, I'd like to see an awful lot of proof before you start giving me these hard and fast conclusions about this. I hope these incidents are not true. Strangulation is an incredibly serious charge. The multiple accounts of domestic violence, incredibly serious charges. I'm hoping he's not guilty. And if so, to me, this would be a rush to sort of make a big demonstration about how your culture has changed if you're the Washington football team. But again, if they feel lied to, that to me makes a little bit more sense as to why they went super quickly.
Well, I'm uncomfortable kind of speculating on that, I'll be honest with you. You know, guessing that he lied to them. I don't love doing that for a lot of reasons. So I'm not going to necessarily. Here is what I think happened, because now it's my turn to speculate, I guess moderately irresponsibly, but that's what we have to do today. I think that this was a case where this team is a couple weeks removed from the horrendous story that came out in the Washington Post about its culture. And it has spent almost every waking minute since that story doing things to leave those issues in the rearview mirror. These are things like ridding itself as an organization from all of the men that were named, creating a hostile and work environment for women, mistreating women. Julie Donaldson was hired and has already created multiple organizations for women that I've seen her talking about on places like the Today Show nationally. No, not NBC Sports Washington, the Today Show, where she talks about how all the women in the organization get together and kind of support each other and talk about ideas for growth and things like that. These are the types of things they've been doing the last couple of weeks. And then a story comes out where you've got a running back who allegedly committed domestic violence, not once or twice, but on three separate occasions. And I really believe, and I hope I'm wrong, his attorney, for the record, Geis's attorney, said that the team really didn't investigate this that thoroughly, that they just released him outright. This is what the attorney is saying. Wouldn't be the first time an attorney's lied, obviously. But I believe that there probably was very little back and forth with Geis. And I assume they go, you know what? We can't have this. Not ever, but certainly not right now. Not if I'm Ron Rivera when I'm quote-unquote changing a culture and I'm preaching accountability and I'm preaching that was the past. And everything Ron Rivera keeps saying is judge us on the present. Don't judge me on what happened before me. Judge me on the present. Well, the present is now that this guy gets arrested for domestic violence. What are you going to do about it? And he cuts him immediately. I think if Geis had lied, they'd come out and say that. Just like the Chiefs did, who you used as the example, by the way. They came out and said, he told us one thing, the video showed us something else, that's why he's getting cut. The opposite happened today. This was Ron Rivera's statement with reporters. He, in fact, just basically said, if I'm wrong about this, I'll wear it. He's leaving open the possibility, for the record, that he is wrong about this. Listen to Rivera when he sat down with reporters for the first time since cutting Geis this morning.
Just want to open this up by saying, on Friday I made a decision that I believe was in the best interest of this organization, our players, and our fans going forward. Very difficult decision. You know, anytime you have to release a very talented young football player, it's always a tough decision. But this type of circumstances, this type of situation, we take those allegations very, very seriously. And, you know, we had to make a decision going forward. And sometimes it's one of these things that there are processes, there are situations, there are circumstances that you go through. Each situation, each circumstance is unique. Each one will be handled and dealt with differently to what we believe is best for the organization going forward. And that's probably the most important thing. I talked to the players yesterday, basically told them that I had made a decision that I believe was in the best interest of our organization. And if it was the right decision, we will benefit from it. And if it's not, it will be on me. I will take full responsibility as we go forward to try and make sure we do things the right way. And we'll go from there.
If it's not, it'll be on me. I'll take full responsibility. I think that's him kind of saying, look, we made a rush decision here. We made a fast decision. If it ends up being the right decision, then it's going to help us. If not, blame me. But I did what I thought we needed to do as a team. And for me, it's a timing thing. But also, you know, if this was Terry McLaurin or this was Chase Young, you probably wait for the facts to find out. To be found out, I should say. It's a guy who has barely ever been on the field, who's kind of injury-riddled, and it's a chance if you're Ron Rivera to send a massive message. And these are really serious allegations, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was shocked with how quickly they cut him, though. I'll just tell you that, because everyone said, you got to cut him, you got to cut him. And my first thought was, today? Or should you wait to see, I don't know, what the story is that, that took place? And they didn't do that, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the treatment of the team, even as much as I despise Bruce Allen and was, you know, thought he should have been fired a decade ago. You know, basically, every day that he was on the job was an insult to this fan base. But I thought they were unfairly beat up for the Reuben Foster thing. To me, there's when you vilify a team, it's when they don't care. Like when the Dallas Cowboys didn't care about what Greg Hardy did and just threw him out on the field. If Foster's found guilty or whatever, and then the team just can't wait to deploy him, all they did was execute a procedural move. He didn't play it down for them, right? And you wait and see. Wait for the facts to play out. Let's figure out what the details are. So to me, they must have learned something in this process because the department, talking about the sheriff's office, determined that the assaults took place back in February, in March, and in April. And then the sheriff's office learned of the accusations on July 22nd, talking about Loudoun County, because they were initially filed in Montgomery County in Maryland. So I have to believe that the team was aware of something. The extent of it, though, I think became clear to them, you know, after the arrest is made, and then they move very quickly. So to me, people are going to applaud this because of the message that it sends. I take a big picture societal view where we just, it doesn't matter who the target is, accusations are enough to undo somebody. Now, again, if he is guilty of these things, throw the book at him. Prison. This is not okay. This behavior is not okay if, in fact, he's guilty. But I want all the information to come out. That's what we should always strive for in these and every circumstance, is as much information as possible.
According to their statement, if you're taking them at face value, they didn't know about these things until one day before he was cut. So they found out on Thursday about what was going on, and then he was arrested on Friday, and soon after he was arrested is when they released him. Rivera was asked for clarification on the timeline, which you're referring to, Danny, and he didn't want to go there today.
Sam, I really want to get into that just because of the fact that the statement that we put out really details what we did for the most part. And so, you know, I don't want to get back into a situation, circumstances. As I said, though, each situation is unique, and each situation will be we will be dealt that way as we go forward.
800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067, if you want to call us now. What did you make of the team's decision to release Darius Geis immediately? Obviously, they have the ability to do that. It's a company. You can fire someone as soon as they're accused if you'd like to. It's not like they necessarily broke any rules in doing that, but there was no attempt to either stand by him or seemingly to spend a whole lot of time getting as much information as possible, according to the statement the team put out. Grant and Danny on the Fan. One of the big plays Darius Geis made in his career game in Washington, well over 100 yards against Ron Rivera's Carolina Panthers. Last year, he saw him up close and personal in the best game he had in his two seasons in D.C. Five games, 42 rushes, the end of his time in Washington, D.C. 5.8 yards per carry last year. Geis proved he could play when he's on the field. The problem is getting him on the field. Never healthy and now in trouble with the law. Arrested, domestic violence charges, three different incidents, including being charged with strangulation. And the football team cut him immediately. There wasn't really all that thorough an investigation. This kind of goes opposite of some of the things they have done in the past, where they've been more inclined to wait and see. And we're asking you guys if you think they did the right thing. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Danny, I want to compare this really quick to Reuben Foster, because a lot of people are doing that, and I don't really see the comp for Ron Rivera in this regard. Rivera gets here, and Reuben Foster has already been signed. And when Reuben Foster was signed, the team basically gave him a list of things he had to do and abide by to stay on the team. To our knowledge, he's done all of those things and had no issues and kind of passed with flying colors. Oh, by the way, since coming to Washington, he's been exonerated of the charges that were levied upon him. So he's not in legal trouble right now. He got out of the charges that were against him from a legal standpoint. He's supposedly acted like a model citizen and rehabbed his butt off. And people are saying, and I've seen media members doing this, by the way, because the irony was that when they cut Geis, Foster took his spot. Real culture change, Ron. is he just supposed to cut everyone on every team that he coaches that has ever gotten in trouble with the law or been accused or had any kind of issues in the past, domestic violence or otherwise? I don't really get that comp at all. I don't think it works.
Well, the comp is pretty simple. Player accused of something, one is welcomed to the team, the other is removed from the team. And I know leadership has changed in Ron Rivera, but that's the question. I mean, this is still the same ownership.
He wasn't here when they welcomed the guy to the team. If he was here when they welcomed the team, the comparison would work. He takes over, guy's already been given a litany of things he's got to do, all of which he's doing. So my point is, if Ron Rivera brought in Reuben Foster after what happened with him, then it would make perfect sense. He inherits a team with Reuben Foster, who's acted like a model citizen and been exonerated. He's just supposed to cut him?
No, I understand that. I understand that Ron Rivera wasn't here when Foster was signed. But the franchise is the same franchise, and that's why people are making that comparison. I'm with you that this is, you've turned decision-making over, but that subtlety has lost it, it seems, on a lot of people. So, but it does, you know, Ron Rivera was here when they signed Cody Latimer, and that's kind of the
Cody Latimer was not in trouble when they signed him yet. He's on the commissioner's exempt list, and he's basically, he ended today at the fact that he's probably, I can't say probably, but there's a good chance he won't be on the team. We've got cuts on that, too, if you want to play those. But, yeah, he was here when they signed Latimer. I guess the point is they should have cut Latimer right away when he got in trouble.
But that's where I'm going with this, is this one, for some reason, they've decided the instant they found out about, you know, the extent of the allegations, did not wait, did not offer due process, did not say, let's let all the facts play out, didn't say, hey, Darius, sit down for a while. Let's get to the bottom of this thing. We all want what's best for you. We want what's best for the alleged victim, the organization, etc. They went right away. And there have been a couple cases over the last couple years where they've done the opposite, where they've actually waited for the facts to play out against the wishes, by the way, of some high and mighty in the media who just can't, who, as soon as an accusation happens, they get to pat themselves on the back because they're against domestic violence. Congratulations. Everyone's literally against it. There's nobody that's in favor of it. But you need to make sure that you let everybody know that you're the most opposed to it, and teams did take a harsh stand. Let's let all the facts play out. The team has done that a couple times. They didn't do it, it seems like, in this case. And to me, there's got to be some extra reason. What you posited, I think, makes a lot of sense before the break hit. And it was that the timing of the investigation against them, of the Washington Post story, and the bad culture when it came to the treatment of women and female reporters kind of in and around the park was the catalyst. And that makes
that's
a lot of sense
reason.
To me in terms of, that, of the
to
correlation.
To me, that's the yeah. reason. This is the, first of all, it's the first player to get in trouble since then. Big trouble. Second, it's actual trouble where you are mistreating a female, where this is a serious thing. This is domestic violence. You've still got an internal investigation going on with one of the most powerful attorneys in the country trying to figure out your practices as to how you treat females. And you've just hired someone who's basically completely revamping the ability for females in your workplace to feel comfortable. This happens within weeks of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost no matter who it was, they were going to pay the price. The fact that it was Darius Geis made it an easy decision immediately because he's hurt a lot and he's been here 2 years and he's done very little, even though he's got a lot of talent. But if this was your quarterback or if this was your star pass rusher, or I think you might be more inclined to say we need to let the facts play out. Here was Rivera, the comparison for Reuben Foster. He was asked about that and him being activated when Geis was deactivated. But this was his take on Foster.
Well, the biggest thing about Reuben was in watching him the last 8 days, not last 8 days, probably what amounts to about the last 9 days, 4 days on, day off, and then 4 days on, he did extremely well. And the thing you always worry about is the next day, how does he feel? How has his body reacted to the amount of work he did? And he really had no issues. And each day he seemed to get stronger and stronger and more confident. So we activated him yesterday. Had an opportunity to watch him, and he moved around very well. We put him in limited action to kind of ease him back into it, and he'll get more today as we continue to go forward. But you know, he was prepared and ready to go, and we're pretty excited for Reuben.
And this might even kind of be more relevant to what we're talking about in terms of a juxtaposition of handling these situations. Let's play the cut on Cody Latimer, because Pete from NBC Sports Washington, I think, asked kind of directly about how can you keep Latimer and cut Geis right away?
Well, the biggest thing is when the Cody Latimer situation came out, there were some things that still we hadn't known. So what happened was he goes onto the commissioner's exempt list, and so we're now in a position where we're just going to continue to monitor it and see what happens, and we'll go from there with Cody. as I said, and again, understand that we will look at each situation, each set of circumstances individually, and we'll go through our process and make our assessments.
I took that as before we could do anything, he was placed on that commissioner exempt list. I wouldn't bet on him being on the team, but we'll see. There's certainly something to monitor. Let's get to the calls next. 800-636-1067 as they come in. Darius Geis released immediately. Do you agree with that having been Washington's decision rather than kind of playing the wait-and-see game as these allegations and an arrest became a hearing where he gets to defend himself? And then second, how relevant to this do you think is that Post story from a couple of weeks earlier? You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.